Well, with the news of Dan's passing this week, I felt led to deviate from our sermon series on the Upper Room Discourse so that this morning we could look into God's Word for perspective, for courage, and for hope. Aren't we thankful today that we have God's Word that we can turn to in our time of need? And He always has a word of encouragement, a word for our hearts in our times of need. There's certainly no doubt in our minds that Dan, as I said earlier, is rejoicing in God's presence, but the reality is we're here, and our hearts are heavy. We are the ones who are in need of God's grace, in need of His guidance so that we could navigate through this difficult season. So to help us do that, we want to ponder a really wonderful, wonderful truth that we find in a very familiar story in the Gospel of Mark. And that is, if we go to the next slide, please. God is the sovereign over the sudden. He is the sovereign over the sudden. One of the unnerving realities of our journey through life is that in one moment, everything is smooth sailing. Everything is just going great. And then out of nowhere, total devastation, heartbreak, and ruin. But this morning, I want to encourage you to know that we must never despair because our God is sovereign over the sudden. So God helping us this morning, I pray that this reality that God is sovereign over these experiences that we encounter in life would be so engraved upon the tables of our hearts that when these storms come to ravage our souls, that we will not be shaken. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. And let's begin our reading this morning with verse 35 to the end of the chapter. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Father, we pray that by the power of your Spirit this morning, you would whisper those words to every heart that is heavy this morning, that the raging waves of the sea and the tumult in our spirit would be calmed by your word, "Peace, be still, and know that I am God." Thank you for your faithfulness. We entrust ourselves to you to minister by the power of your Spirit in a way that only you can, so that Jesus alone will be glorified. For it's in his name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. The account that we're looking at in our text this morning takes place on the familiar Sea of Galilee, which many of you probably know figured very, very prominently in the life of Jesus. You will recall that Peter, James, and John, all fishermen by trade, they earned their living on the Sea of Galilee. And it was while they were engaged in fishing that Jesus called them and said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It was in the region of the Sea of Galilee that so many of the notable miracles that Jesus performed were accomplished there. And in the same region, his ministry headquarters were established. And so this region figured very, very prominently in the earthly life of Jesus and becomes the setting for the account that we have read in our text this morning. But we need to back up to verse 1, which provides the backstory to the text that we have read. And we read, "Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered unto him." We know that wherever Jesus went, there was always a large crowd that was following after him. Of course, they were following after him for the loaves and the fish. They were following after him for the miracles. But Jesus knew he had to also give them the bread of life, to give them the truth of God, for it was the truth of God that had the power to truly set them free. And from our text, it's clear that Jesus was teaching all day long, and he desperately needed a break. I know that Jesus was the Son of God, fully God, but we need to remember he was also fully man. And he experienced the gamut of every emotion, physical weakness, limitation that you and I experience. And this truth and this reality is hinted to in verse 35. On that day, the day that he had taught all day long, when evening had come, he said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, he had to get away from the press of the crowd, the demands of the crowd. And they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Jesus had been in that boat all day long teaching. Then he calls his disciples and he says, "Guys, get in this boat with me and take me to the other side." He was in desperate need of some rest and refreshing. We need to go from where all the hubbub of activity and intensity has been draining us to the other side, where there's going to be some rest and some peace. Jesus was so exhausted that I can't imagine it was very long after they pushed away from the shore that he drifted into a very deep sleep. But the Bible tells us en route to the other side, suddenly, this leisurely, quiet ride was interrupted by this violent and unexpected storm. And in the narrative that Mark provides of this very dramatic event, we are able to glean some important lessons, some important truths that will help us navigate when the storms of life come our way. So I want us to look at those lessons this morning, the first of which is this: in this life, we have no guarantee against sudden storms. Oh, we all know that storms are going to come, but when they come suddenly, they rock us and they shake us. I know we're all familiar with the expression, life is full of surprises. And thankfully, most of those surprises are upsetting, they're unnerving, but they're not earth-shattering or life-destroying. When, for example, you might go out to your car in the morning expecting to get in and drive away to your job and you discover you have a flat tire. Or you open your mail and you find some outstanding bill that was never paid and one which you did not budget for. It's, oh my, how am I going to take care of this? Or you get the news that the promotion you were expecting fell through. These are shattering storms, as it were, that come into our life, but they're not the end of the world, even though momentarily we feel like they are. Oh no! What am I going to do now? The world is coming to an end. I have a flat tire. Sorry, the world is not coming to an end. You will get your flat tire fixed. And as bad as these things seem to us, we must admit they're really not all that tragic, but they certainly can't compare to the devastation of the sudden tragedies and storms that come into our lives that may change our lives forever. Like when you go to the doctor and he tells you you have 3 months to live. That's a real storm. Or the storm that came into the Quintot family this past week. You know, the Bible warns us of the possibility of these sudden calamities. When the scripture tells us in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, don't brag about what will happen tomorrow. A man does not know what a day may bring forth. Certainly, Julie had no idea as she was preparing dinner on Tuesday night that in a moment she would be confronted with sudden tragedy. On a lesser scale, certainly, Brother Ed had no idea a couple of weeks ago that he walked out of a store that he would be hit by a car and sustain serious injuries. You know, it's a mistaken notion that we sometimes have as Christians that if we're faithful followers of Jesus Christ, that we're immune somehow to the troubles of life, that somehow we're immune to the tragedies of life. Well, look at the account that we've read this morning. These were the disciples of Jesus, those who were closest to him. They were not exempted from encountering this storm because Jesus was on board. And all of us can rejoice this morning that Jesus is on board in our lives. But even though he is on board in our lives, does not mean that we will not have calamity, that we will not have heartache. Just a very quick look at the scripture will show us scores of men and women who loved God and served God. But this idea is quickly dismantled. This erroneous belief that because Jesus is on board, there will never be a storm. Joseph was thrown into prison. Was there a man of greater integrity? Job, who loved God and shunned evil, lost everything but his life. Jeremiah, that great prophet, was thrown into prison and suffered severe persecution at the hands of his enemies. Paul had an affliction that plagued him his entire life, a thorn sent from Satan. And we know what happened to all the original disciples. They were martyred, except John, who was exiled as a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos. The reality, my friends, is that we are living in a fallen world. And when sin entered the world, with that sin came a host of evils. Evils that God never authored, but all of which are the result of the fall. God created us to live forever. It was never his intention that death would come. But because sin came, death came, and now it is appointed unto man to die. Whether young or whether old, we all have an appointment with death. But the good news is, because Jesus is on board, when we are absent from this body, we are present with the Lord. And there is no longer a sting in death. The grave no longer has a victory because of Jesus. Nevertheless, when death comes, it's hard and it's painful and it hurts. We must understand that Jesus never promised us a bed of roses. He said the rain falls on the just and the unjust. We think bad things only happen to those who don't love God and aren't serving God. But that same rain Those same troubles, those same tribulations happen to the just as well. The Apostle Paul reminds us, through many afflictions, we must enter into the kingdom of God. But we're so thankful that regardless of what those afflictions are this morning, the promise that he makes to us is that of his constant presence. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always. How long is he with us? I didn't hear what you said. How long is he with us? In every moment, in every vicissitude, in every difficulty, in every trial, in every test, he is with us. That's why he came, and he was called Emmanuel, God with us. And we've learned as we've been studying the upper room discourse that while the disciples were so saddened and despondent that Jesus was leaving them, he said, I'm not leaving you. I'm physically leaving you, but I'm sending you the Comforter who will be with you always, in you and through you and with you each step of the way. There's no argument this morning. The storms of life are tough to weather. But can we begin to imagine what it must be like for those who don't have the Lord with them? How often in my work as a pastor, I visit with those who are in deep distress, and we talk about how difficult it has to be. How do those outside of Christ get through these kinds of trials? Don't have the Lord in their life, no one to lean on, no comfort to receive. But God, and we know him, and we have him. The second thing we learn from this passage that we've read this morning is that God appears to be oblivious to what we're going through. And the key word there is appears, because he is never oblivious. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. His eye is always on us. Now you must remember that these disciples were seasoned seamen who no doubt had experienced storms at sea many, many times. But this storm seems to be particularly overwhelming. And even though Jesus is sleeping, I guess they initially did not want to bother him, and they're feverishly bucketing the water out of the boat, but they're seeing their attempts are futile. This thing is going down. And if we ever needed help from Jesus, it's now. And where's Jesus? Sound asleep, oblivious to the raging storm. There are times in our lives, Christian friends, that God appears to be silent. We're crying out to him, but no answer comes. I know Julie fervently prayed and cried out to God to restore Dan's life when she found him on Tuesday night. And I'm reminded of Mary and Martha and their desperate plea for Jesus. Come, Jesus, come quickly and heal your friend Lazarus. But instead of immediately going to their rescue and responding to their cry and their plea, he didn't say to his disciples, come on, boys, let's get to Bethany quickly. My friend Lazarus is at the point of death. The Bible tells us, hearing that news, he remained where he was 2 more days. Why? Because Jesus knew something that Mary and Martha didn't know. And I want us to know this morning that God's seeming delays and even his denials mean that God is going to get greater glory in the end. We know that the process is painful. But if we know that God is going to get greater glory and we are living for his glory, then we say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And so when we encounter those times when Jesus seems to be asleep at the wheel of our lives, we know he has another plan and we need to trust him. There's an old song that just comes to mind. If we could see as God could see, if we could know